Well, I am the rest of the Kinsel of Sechel. Okay? First Ram says you can't be masig at all. So at any rate, the reason why I mention this is because what the Rambam is saying is that the actual enjoyment that a person experiences in this world, any enjoyment he experiences, even the enjoyment of Chachma, is an emotional enjoyment because he's physically, emotionally based. See? It's an emotional enjoyment. But that the activity of the soul you have in this world, but the enjoyment of the soul you don't have in this world. The enjoyment of the soul is only in Olabah. That's around that answer. Enjoyment of the soul is only in Olabah. The activity of the soul is in this world, but the activity of the soul in this world is tied to the physical enjoyment. There's a physical enjoyment there. However, he says you can't be masu at all mabas. But later, it's interesting. Later, when he speaks about what will happen when Yemosa Mashiach takes place, so he says, "Lamand du es Hashem ki kum yedo osim ikotna vad gedolam and satis terasa believan las resi levem mepsarcham." They'll be able to be masig what Olam Haba is in a very great way. The question is, if you can't know what it is, Ram says you can't know what it is, right? So then how does he say later that that by most Mashiach, the more perfected a person is, the more he's masig Olam Haba. How is it possible? Start to the Sasri. You can't know what it is. What difference does it make how perfected the person is? No matter how perfected he is, he still is operating on emotions. So how does he get to know it better? Right? Olam Haba Hasaga Chazaka. They'll have a sound grasp on Olam Haba. How could it be? Basaga Sachushim, it's an interesting thing. Unbelievable realm. People most people don't realize it. Yeah? Spiritual enjoyment, the natural spiritual enjoyment that you have in this world. You know, if you do the right thing, it's a spiritual enjoyment. As if it's a different kind of emotion. The truth of the matter is, it's not so, because those the same type of emotions express themselves in other places too. Psychologists will show you this very quickly. That a certain emotion that a person might have in a religious area can be expressed in another area. Not a special emotion, not a different emotion. Qualitatively differentiated. Yes, the Ram says it's a physical emotion. But the only thing is that in the next world, what happens is the function, the only thing that functions here is the only thing ruchnius here is not the hanoa ruchnius, but the function of the soul is the only ruchnius thing that we have there. That's the only thing we have there. We don't have the ruchnius experience. We have a ruchnius activity, yes. That functions and everything that the enjoyment is, everything that functions the way it is created finds itself in the most perfect state and therefore has enjoyment.
Right,
now that enjoyment, you can't be mocked. In other words, the soul, there's what Ram is saying like this. When does a person have enjoyment? The person has enjoyment when he's functioning properly. You know what I mean? Or when a certain part of him is functioning properly. Like the taste. A person, something will taste very good. Taste buds, loving germs for taste buds, when they're functioning to a great degree, right? That might be detrimental to the rest of the body, but at any rate, that each part, when it's in its perfect state, in its state which it functions most, is in a state of perfection, then there is a certain enjoyment there. The enjoyment results from that perfection. So the soul also has perfection in the next world. If the only thing that has enjoyment is pain or pleasure, you'd be right. But pain or pleasure is a reflection of the imperfection of a certain imperfect state or perfect state, which is in the which fits the individual. In other words, an individual is created for a certain type of existence, and it doesn't have that existence, it experiences pain. You see, if it does, it experiences pleasure. Right now, just like that, just like you have that. situation, right? Anything which is created for a certain purpose and isn't functioning properly will experience pain. But the pain wouldn't be a physical pain. It would be a pain because of a lack of what it was created for. I mean, it's an you know what I'm saying? In this world, it comes out to be physical pain and pleasure. You know what I'm saying? The point is that anything which was created, which functions and was created for a certain purpose and does not achieve that purpose will receive pain. If it does, it will receive pleasure. You see? Masigala Mabo. Interesting statement. He says he can't be Masigala, he says he could. What do you want to say about Masigala? In terms of the first time when he says Lo Yasig, he's speaking about experience. Experience, it can't be Masigala. Sure. In the second instance, he's talking about the ability to perceive it intellectually. See? That, he says, the more perfect the individual is, the closer his mind can approximate what the Hanoas Olam Abba is. An interesting thing. Closer he can approximate. I really didn't explain all that. Questions like this, really, you still ask. So why is it, how does it work? The greater the person is, the more knowledge he has. Yeah, what does he get more? How does he get more? How does he get more, right? That's the question. How does he get more?
A blind man seeing color. Can a blind man have the ability to
see color? That a blind man can never experience color. He can never know it experientially. But, however, you could give him the abstract ideas pertaining to color, and he could put it together in his mind so that he can have an idea of how it works. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying. He has some idea of how it functions. That functions, you know what I mean? Like, tell them it's something which exists, in other words, well, and that the Rambam says that the greater the person, I mean, he always says, Yasigu Hasoga Chazaka. I don't know if I remember this from a long time ago, or all I see is like, Yasigu Olam Haba Hasoga Chazaka. Okay? Like, I was mentioned that that it's in terms of negative knowledge. In other words, the more he removes himself from the physical, so then the closer he gets to the Olam Haba, which is a non-physical type of thing. So it's in other words, the more distant he is from the physical, the closer he is to perceiving what the spiritual is. But the only question would be that in terms of the experience, we're saying that his experience is still rooted in the physical. You know what I mean? Yeah. His experience is still rooted in the physical. No matter how much he gets away from it, the experience is still a physical one. So the more he enjoys the spiritual, the more physical he, the more his physical is operating. The purpose of a person's life is to have a more of a metaphysical existence rather than a physical existence, right? Okay. So I'll ask you a question. Yadis maintains that the better a person lives, the happier he is, and the more enjoyment he actually has, right? So the more enjoyment he has, and since we say that enjoyment is a physical one, so it comes up that a person who is a great tzaddik has more physical enjoyment than a person who is a rasha. Because a rasha runs into the difficulties that come with being a rasha. So therefore he has more of a physical experience. So the higher he gets, the lower he's going. Experience is always an emotional one, right? Which is a physical one. Now, the more a person enjoys, and the more he utilizes, the more of an emotional experience he has. So if it comes out that the higher the man, the greater, the more perfected he is, means the less difficulties he has in life. Because the Derech of Torah is that the person lives according to Derech of Torah, he has the greatest life in this world, as the Rambam says. Never mind next world, this world, right here, he has the best life. Greatest satisfaction. Oh, the greatest satisfaction he has, the more physical experience he has. So the more physical he becomes. What do you say? A lot of times, philosophy. Because Rambam sheet is that a person can't really be healthy unless he's philosophically sound. That's why when he wrote for the, a lot of problems. They told him that he couldn't sleep at night, he's worrying about his melucha. So you try to explain to him that that's something which is affecting his health because of a philosophical imperfection. And really, he should realize that a lot of times people have lost all their wealth, and it comes out that they improve themselves. They improve their soul by that. Now, that certainly is a gain, so you shouldn't worry about losing your malucha. You know? Explains to the Sultan how the persons on the higher level live. He says, he calls it the even keel. He says, people who are on a lower level of life, he says, they have a lot of ups and downs. They're elated, tremendously elated, and then they get very depressed. Because they're involved in the searching after the seeming pleasures, you know, the hallucinatory pleasures, you know, I mean, the mirages. So first they see it, they go wild, and there's the depression. It's up and down. He says, yeah. He says, but the chacham, he says, is more or less on an even keel. He says, when something happens, like, there's very few things that can really shake him up. If he found out he won $100,000, it's not going to shake him up so much because it doesn't have that much importance. If he lost it, it's not going to bother him that much either. So he more or less rides an even keel. So that's the life of a chacham, like an even keel. So the chacham has a life which is much more quantitatively has more enjoyment. He gets rid of all the bothers and all the pains and all the hassles that most people spend their lives in. That's the pasuk. Pasuk says, "Elkim asa asa adam yasha v'hem bichu cheshbainas arbe." What does it mean, cheshbainas arbe? That's cheshbainas. Rambam says, "A person who takes away from himself oila cheshbainas." That's the oila cheshbainas. Get this, get that. All these cheshbainas that a person makes up in his life. You see. And all these things which his whole life is wrapped up in, which it gives him his ups and downs. That's the olah hashbainis. That's a painful existence. The existence of the rush is a painful existence. Very painful. He strives and he's mostly in a state of desire. Desire is pain and very little satisfaction. So Chazal say, Ein odom niftem in olam v'chatzi tevasa b'yaday. A person doesn't leave this world with half of his title. So most, if he doesn't leave with half, why do they say half? What's half? It means that there has to be more pain than pleasure. Because taiva means a person in a state of pain. If he wants something, it means he's lacking something. He's in a state of pain, right? It doesn't mean the world of chasi taiva to be other. He doesn't even get half of what he wants. You see the ratio of unfulfillment, right? Dissatisfaction in life. That's the way it is. So, he's going to make this tremendous sacrifice. You know what I mean? For the reward that he's going to get. I mean, that's not what the Mishnah says. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tevach olam haba. It means it has to actually experience Ashrecha b'olam hazeh. That's it. He feels he's superior. He feels he definitely has a better life, better existence. That's why a lot of times, there's tzadik v'ra'ala in Rosh v'tevlai. Many times it's tzadik v'ra'ala in Rosh v'tevlai. I'm not saying there's no such kasha. But most of the times, it's no kasha altogether. Because most of the times, if the people would know the enjoyment that the tzadik experiences, they wouldn't even ask the kasha. Do they just look at it in terms of their own pleasures? In terms of their own pleasures, they see a person, they say, hey, this guy has a little gemara, a little has nothing, you know, well, what kind of life does he have? For them, it would be no life. But for this, but they don't see, they only see the difficulties, yeah, the difficulties that he has. Those difficulties to the tzaddik don't even exist as far as he's concerned many times. And the satisfaction that he has, they don't even realize, because they're not even in a position to realize that. So that's why the whole kasha is really wrong kasha. But anyway, we're getting back to this. So what's the answer to this question? Question was, how could you say that the person, he has tremendous enjoyment in this world, so he has physical enjoyment? So he's the most physical person? So they brought in his over. What do you mean? Maintain. I can understand why it's a natural reaction for a person to maintain that when I'm involved in Torah, I'm getting a different type of enjoyment. Because you want to feel that it's different. And what am I doing different? I'm just doing, if this is the same emotion, so what's the difference? You know what I mean? That's something else, yeah, but it's not a different type of emotion. It utilizes the same emotion. It's better. You know what I mean? But you can't say it's a different emotion altogether. You know what I mean? But Rav Moskowitz wanted to posit something else, I think. He wanted to posit that really the purpose is to have the greatest enjoyment. That's the purpose. Right? Like Donnie's going to find the Yisrael Yisrael, Chavos Lavavos. You know where it is? Chavos Lavavos? Do you have one here?
Yeah, we do.
The premise that no one can deny that everyone is looking for happiness. So you can't deny that. I mean, anyone does it as a trait. There's one system in the world that tells you that a person should do this who's not going to be happy. Might say you can go through pain, but they'll say no, then you can be even more happy for that. So satisfaction is, yeah, satisfaction is at the bottom line. The philosophers recognized it many years ago. That's the bottom line. That is the ultimate good, no matter what you say. The question is, I'm rewarded. Which form it is or what? But that is the good that everybody is searching for. Yeah, correct. But Rabbi Moskowitz says that how we work it out is like this. That the greatest enjoyment is that's the highest level. That's the best thing, the greatest enjoyment. So in Torah, you have the greatest enjoyment. That's the greatest level.
You know what
I mean? I didn't have that much pleasure, so therefore he's a Russia. Yeah, he's out of line because he's so far away, he's so far into pain that he's really out of line.
Why would you call him a Russia, a guy who didn't have the ultimate happiness?
What?
He's doing anything negative.
Yeah, ask. Another question you could ask. That you see, that all makes sense if there is only an Olam Hazeh. But if there is an Olam Habo, which has nothing to do with the physical, you see, so then on the contrary, the more steeped he is in the physical, the further away he should be from that goal. I can understand you telling me that he has, in terms of this world's goal, he's greater. But in terms of the next goal, he should be worse. Because the whole idea of why is a person so unfortunate when he comes to Olam Habo if he's steeped in the physical? Because they're saying because his soul is rooted in something which doesn't exist in the next world. He has no basis has no relationship to those things in the next world. Correct? Oh, so then the more he's steeped in it, the further away he should be. You know what I mean? In the physical, the further away he should be from the non-physical. So he should have less of a perception of the non-physical. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's say you gave him a mushroom of two blind men. One man can perceive the ideas and concerning sight, and the other one can't. Now, if they should both be cured, and you take off the bandages from each one's eyes, you'll find that the one who has mastered the ideas can really
better understanding.
Will be able to handle. He won't be in a state of confusion. He'll be able to handle the sight better than the one who doesn't have any ideas, right? Okay.
Yeah,
the other one doesn't. The problem with the marshal is that that when they both perceive sight, the one who has the knowledge will not be able to in any way experience color any better than the other one. As a matter of fact, after the other one experiences color, all the calculations are for naught. You don't need all the calculations.
So just
on the contrary, the calculations, he strips himself of the calculations, and he's down to the essential thing. So why shouldn't it work that way over here? You know what I mean? If, in terms of the experience, it doesn't help, so one shouldn't be able to experience more than the other. They should both be able to experience. Now, once they experience it, then all the calculations aren't necessary, because experience color. I don't have to have all the calculations. It's a difficult question. All right, wait. If somebody is the causative agent of the good, so insofar as he's the causative agent of the good, he's benefited. But insofar as he's the causative agent, but not... he can't learn from somebody else, if possible.
Okay.
Enjoyment is only a... the enjoyment is only a means. The enjoyment is not the end purpose, really. The satisfaction of the person gets. That's only a means. But the main thing is... The main thing is the ideas themselves. The main thing is the ideas themselves. And the only way that we can get the ideas is through an enjoyment. Because in this world, the only way we can do things is through an enjoyment. So therefore, you have to have the enjoyment. Actually, the tzaddik and the rasha have the same enjoyment that comes out, right? The same physical enjoyment. Physical enjoyment. That doesn't make any difference.
Well, what's the relationship between this and Olam Haba?
What?
Olam
Haba means, right? You don't mean it's a means for the individual. Because the individual is all objective in life is pleasure, right? So it's an end, really. It moves the guy, right?
Yeah,
arguing that many percussive music against religion in general. So there's nothing more. That the guy's just looking for the pleasure one way or another. There's no real difference. That's just what they're arguing about. Isn't that best for you?
Why?
Let me just put it down the script. The thing is like this. That the truth of the matter is a person who is on a high level does not involve himself in thought because he wants to have the pleasure of thought. That's the key. A person who is on a high level does not involve himself in thought because he wants to have the pleasure of thought. If that were the case, then you'd be right, and he's pleasure-based. He's just as involved in pleasure, and since, in other words, you couldn't get out of it. You're saying like this. He wants pleasure, right? Now, what does anybody else want? Physical pleasure? So he's doing all this to physical pleasure, no difference? And then we say the more a person is involved in physical pleasure, the more further away he gets from all the ball, from the real good. Oh, so he's getting further away because he's involved in physical pleasure, right? The truth of the matter is that the person who is involved in the ideas does not think, I want the physical pleasure. That's not what he thinks of. He is the ideas entrance him to such a degree that his concern for the self is completely gone. You see? He starts out. It's true that he starts out. It's true that he starts, and he might start out. He has to start out. There's no question about it. He has to start out for his own benefit. That's for sure. Otherwise, he can't make the move.
And that area will not.
Right. But once he makes the move, the man is enthralled with the ideas. He's enraptured by the ideas. So that the ideas draw him, and that he realizes, he comes to the realization, there's something far greater than his own personal satisfaction. Now, the truth of the matter is that there is a satisfaction which is resultant from that state. You see? But that's not the objective anymore of this individual's activity. You see? So that the objective of this individual's activity is no more ego-based. You know what I mean? It's not ego-based anymore. It's not pleasure-based. There's a difference in the objective. In one case, the objective, by most people, the average person, the objective is a certain physical pleasure. That's the objective. And that's what his constant life is concerned with, having that physical pleasure. But the life of the Chacham is not concerned anymore with himself having physical pleasure. That's why the Chacham is least afraid of death. Because death is only a fear when what was the fear of death resolved from? Because a person wants pleasure for himself, and he comes to the stark realization that the moment he's going to cease to exist, that he won't be able to satisfy that wish anymore, which is the most basic wish, most powerful wish in his life. But the Chacham is not concerned with his own pleasure, because those things have already taken a hold of him, which are to him far greater than his own existence. So he's in a world which is greater than his own existence, and his own existence seems very unimportant. That's why people, like, they wonder about Einstein. They say, like, how could the man have such humility? I mean, man could have capitalized, could have had tremendous enjoyment out of being so famous, so world famous. Really simple guy who walks around. The answer is because he was so involved in this other world that these things look silly to him. I mean, a bunch of people standing around applauding him. There's a whole universe out there. This is silly. You know what I mean? So to him, it was nonsense. His humility was a result of his knowledge, result of an emotional type of self-coercion. You know what I mean? So the thing is that the individual who's involved in thought is already, his objective is not anymore towards the for his own satisfaction. That's the difference. Why he's doing it?
Yeah.
Because he's drawn by the knowledge of. Personal thing, right? Now, where did that was? Well, that was his question to begin with. That was Nine's question. Where did the emotions fit in? That's a question.
Gone all the way back.
He meant that analogy quarters ago. but now the way, one second. Scaffold over here. We have at least a structure. You know what I mean? Now the question is, apparently we see that there's two situations of the emotions, correct? And we're saying that we can differentiate between two situations of the emotions. We're saying one situation of the emotions leads to perfection, and another situation of the emotions, on the contrary, leads to imperfection, right? Okay? One leads to Olam Haba, one doesn't lead to Olam Haba. Now what we found is, in other words, even though we're not, what we found is like this, that there are two different situations of the emotions, right? Now we have to define these situations in terms of Olam Haba, okay? But this is the first step. Of course, this question is very good, Ravna. He says, but still, you're dealing with emotions, right? Okay, but I say, yes, you're dealing with emotions, but there's a different framework already. And it could very well be that the framework would make the difference, right? The answer is that the state in which it is true, while it is true there is no enjoyment of the soul in this world, but the state which leads to the best existence of the soul in the next world is that state in which the soul functions to the greatest degree in this world. Right? Okay. Now the point is like this. The soul can only function to the greatest degree in this world when all the energies that an individual has are in line with the functioning of the soul. In other words, all the energies of the individual are subservient or are supportive of the activity of the soul, the function of the soul. See? Now, however, whenever the energies of man are for something else, then the soul ceases to act, can't function. So that when a person's interested in self-enjoyment, the enjoyment of the self, in that way, all his energies are being directed towards something in which the soul has no function. Because the soul doesn't function in terms of the enjoyment of the self. That's just a physical thing that exists in this world, physical enjoyment, which exists for temporarily, and then the person dies, and that's it. That's not something of the soul. The activity of the soul is the perception of those eternal ideals which were created by God. You see? So now, if a person, again, I said like I said before, that if a person's purpose in learning is for satisfaction, is for physical enjoyment, then you're right. Then I cannot say that his energies are really being used for the enjoyment of the spiritual. But we said that the difference is like this, that a person who is really interested in thought is not interested in the enjoyment of the thought. The thought itself attracts him. The thought attracts his mind like a magnet. You know what I mean? The taste is bothers him. It's not that he wants to have... He doesn't stand saying, well, I want to taste it because I want to enjoy the solution of the taste. The problems bother him. I mean, Asura no veras amara godlazem, adul ivrasneh. Wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, I'd like to have the enjoyment of figuring out what the snare is, or why the snare is in an uko. See? He was drawn to the phenomena, naturally. His energies were drawn. True, he was a physical human being, and the energy that was drawn were all physical. That's correct. But the point remains that in that state, his soul was functioning to the highest degree. Because when the energies are drawn in that manner, then the soul is drawn in a way that the soul is totally free to function, totally free to operate. You know what I mean? All the energies that he has, in other words, man is created in a way that his energies could be directed to the functioning of the soul, to the highest functioning of the soul that we know of, and it's possible for man, right? Okay. So man is created in that way, that his energies could be directed towards the function of the soul. When his energies are directed towards the highest form of functioning of the soul, then the soul having been changed, right, will, when it comes in, when the body is removed, will be able to enjoy the benefits of the enjoyment which exists in the next world. You see, you follow what I'm saying? But the reason why I can enjoy it is because the soul has been changed through its activity. You know, therefore, what we're saying is that the state of being, although it's true, it's all physical in this world, right? Even if a person's awed by a phenomena, it's still physical energy, emotions that are driving him. But the point is, he's in a state in which the soul is functioning to the greatest degree. Now, he whose soul functions to the greatest degree, and I mean qualitatively, not quantitatively, he whose soul functions to the greatest degree, because you can't measure it in quantity, he is the one that will enjoy the next world to the greatest degree. You know what I'm saying?
That's
what I'm saying. That's what the Ram means. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. The first step was the framework, right? The framework was that there's two different types of enjoyment in terms of objectives. Two different frameworks in which a person perceives enjoyment. One is as his objective. He wants the physical pleasure. That person is steeped in physical pleasure. And if he should even be learning for that purpose, then he's also steeped in physical pleasure. And there's no difference. That's why if he doesn't reach Lishma, so then it's Mitersha Leibar doesn't come to Lishma, then it's nothing. See? Oh, okay. But then there is a state in which a person is completely overtaken by the phenomena. That's Kichelas, like the Ram says, Kichelas Ahava Oni. Kichelas Ahava means he's completely drawn. I mean, he's completely drawn there. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that he thinks I'm going to do this because of a... And that he doesn't sit down and cheshbon, I'm going to do this because I want to have the enjoyment. So that's really a lower state.
The objective is the knowledge itself.
There is no objectives anymore. The man is completely irrational. He's sick. That's why by the Nazim they used to call him a Shigoyim. Meshuga. Why? Because the man was a sick man. They said the guy isn't even thinking about himself anymore. He's completely in a different world. You see? Why? Because every normal person, his main preoccupation is with himself. But a person who has reached that level, the self is completely lost. He just, on the contrary, he has to go through difficult times to concentrate a certain amount of energy in order to be able to exist. See, but his main preoccupation is with the world of Chochmah, the world of ideas, the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See? So that individual is on, that's why they call him the Shigoyim. You understand? It's the loss of the self. In that state, the soul functions to the greatest degree. Now, the soul that functions to the greatest degree in this world will also enjoy the greatest benefits in Olam Habah, even though it doesn't have the enjoyment here. But man was created in a way that his physical self could be a basis in which the soul thrives. Do you know what I mean? That's the point. Right? Big question. Well, I understand. It's a metaphysical reality. Do you know what I mean? Achdus Hashem. There's no Achdus like Achdus Hashem, because any Achdus we perceive, we always have some physical notion there. But the Achdus Hashem, the Achdus in the physical only reflects something to us that has to do with the Achdus Hashem. But in reality, in substance, there's no relationship. Okay. So, Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. Fine. Shimcha Echad. But what is the Mikamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Boretz? When Amcha Yisrael is more Echad, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Echad? Because he can't be Mechalikim to parts. There's a guf, he's Mechalik to parts, the Ram explains. Right? But Amcha Yisrael, he can't be Mechalikim to parts? Many Jews? So why is Amcha Yisrael Echad? You see, the truth of the matter is that what differentiates people? Their emotions differentiate them. Because each person has different emotions due to environmental factors, hereditary factors, whatever it might be. But each person, emotions are very particularized. So that's why people are different, you see. But in ideas, people aren't different. If you show somebody a mathematical theorem, so will he sees it differently than another way? Another person sees the Euclidean proof. I mean, the mind is one mind. Otherwise, it couldn't ever have a subject of logic, and we wouldn't know what we're talking about. Right? So you see that there is, in terms of thought, really human beings.
So therefore, thought is a universal, and thought is a unifying factor among men. However, that's Yahadus. Because Yahadus is the Am that has Das. That's what Yahadus. That's the essence of Yahadus. We're the Am that has Das Hashem. So that makes us Goy Echad. Okay, that makes us one nation. See, even though, of course, there are Chachmei Umas HaOlam, right, that have Das, but there's no one Am that their essential purpose, essential nature is to have Das. And Dani brought in a good pasuk from Tachman. It says, Shomer Goy Echad, Shmor Sheiris Am Echad, Vayovad Goy Echad, Hamyachdim Shimcha, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So why do you call it Goy Echad? Why are we one nation? It's interesting. The reason is because our nation, right, the Jewish nation, its essential function is Das. And what Das is it? That's Das Hashem. That what? That we express that God is one, the unity of God. The Das Hashem, that's the ultimate Das Hashem that we have, that God is one, the unity of Hashem. So what results from here is really the unity of Hashem, right? The unity of God is really expressed via the nation of the Achdus of Bnei Yisrael expresses Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our expressing the unity of God is what makes us into a Goy Echad. So that explains the pasuk in by Mincha, by Tzvot Mincha, Toecha v'Shimcha Echad, Umik Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'art. Direct result, at Toecha v'Shimcha Echad. And therefore, Umik Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'art. Direct result, because that's our essential function, is declaring that idea, that concept. And that declaration, that concept, that's what unifies us, because the ideas are the unifying factor among man. And the emotions, the distinguishing factor among man.
Yarval Yavar, a person is planning to commit suicide. so to speak, not actually, it's not called suicide, but it means to allow himself to be killed, you see, in three cases. Right? Three cases. Right. What is regular rational sum? So the thing is that the question is, what the person might be is forfeiting his perfection. He's forfeiting his perfection in those three cases. So why is he obligated to forfeit his perfection? Because the man could have lived another 30 years and could have become more perfected, correct? But you see, the Torah obligates the man to forfeit his perfection at that point, and to die, right? It's an interesting phenomenon. He's mechuyev to do it. Al pidin, system demands it. What? Yeah. All right. Then why? Well, that's a separate question. Why these three cases? You have to understand what. No, that's a separate question. Why these cases are different than other cases? Another question. What kind of of God and Gilgamesh? Okay. See you later. It operates upon one premise. The premise is that we mentioned that the highest perfection results in Avas Hashem. See, in love of God and love of justice. Now the point is, in a certain instance, a person reaches the point where his love of justice supersedes all other considerations. And that's in those three cases. That's the basic outline of the answer. The details of the answer will be difficult to work out. But you see, since perfection is a love of justice and love of God is the ultimate perfection, so that in these three cases, he would be, his actually, if he would choose to remain in existence, so he would lose out. He would lose in terms of perfection because it would demonstrate that his love of justice has not reached a certain point. His love of God has not reached a certain point. That's the basic answer. But the details of the answer, I mean, are not that easy to work out. That's the basic idea. Basic idea is that at a certain time, a kiddush shem shemayim. Kiddush shem shemayim means that the person his recognition of his love of God has reached such a degree that the whole self is completely lost, so that there's no consideration, there are no considerations concerning the self whatsoever. See? So that he does that act as the highest form of action a person can do. That's considered. That's why the one says a person who dies a kiddush shem is the highest madriga, highest level. That's the there is nothing, there's no activity that he could do which would be greater. Okay. But we say that the person's activities led to his death in that sense. In the sense that because he lived a life of Torah or as a Jew, so that's why they killed him. So therefore his living that way was as if he caused his own death. In that sense. See? That's the way it works. Jeopardizing himself. So insofar as he's doing that, he's jeopardizing himself. Insofar as he's doing that, he's giving up his life to the Kiddush Shem. But the details of the answer are not easy to order. That's a general idea. But it's an idea that we really mentioned a few times already. That the ultimate perfection is where the person does not consider, the lack of consideration of the self is the ultimate perfection. Because the self is involved, or the energy towards the self is involved, in the love and appreciation of something external, which is the ultimate reality, which is God. So that he doesn't care if he dies. Doesn't care. That's the highest level. Self to want to be perfected. He doesn't even care about his own perfection. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about his own perfection anymore. He doesn't care. It does not matter to him anymore. Because all his energy is directed towards Avas Hashem, towards his own existence. No. He can't think about himself. Have you ever noticed, you read about the... What's that topic? Do you ever read about the certain professors who don't know what they're doing, they don't watch themselves, they don't care, they're just involved in their work, see? So that there's a loss of the self. That's a mushroom of the same type of thing. Chalas Ahavani, that's what the Rambam says. Chalas Ahavani means that he, on the contrary, all this taking care of himself, when he has to take care of himself is a burden, because he has to think about himself. It's a big burden, see? All his energy is in the opposite direction. Avishan. That's the highest level. It's the most perfect, the most enjoyable life. That type of a life. To reach that level. Right. Yeah, why do you want to go to Eretz Lechol Mipriya Yitzhara? You wanted to go see the fruits of Eretz Yitzhara. That was an idealistic reason. It wasn't because of a... It was because of Avos Hashem that he wanted to live. He wanted to be able to fulfill mitzvahs or tlius bar, it's kind of all yadi. It's separate. But it's only because that's the basic, that's the detail in how it worked out with Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what I mean? But that's the basic idea. That's the same thing with the three things that a person has to kill himself, or allow himself to be killed, I should say. Is because of, that would be those three things. If he wouldn't do that, it would represent the gross imperfections as far as the individual is concerned. And a concern for the self, which supersedes other considerations. My concern for Klal Yisrael, a concern for justice. The case is killing somebody, you have no right to do it. Vod Azara will be foolish and Shemayim. See? So that's the basic idea. That's the basic idea. Okay.